22, excuse me. Luke 22. This is the dark days of our Savior. But he came to die. He came to pay a price. He knew the beginning from the end. Amen. He knew what was going to happen. He said, no man taketh my life. If I lay down my life, I'll take it up again. And the Lord, he knew he was going to betray him. He knew all those things. And, you know, what's puzzling is about, for us, sometimes it's that he knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows us. He knows what we're going to do. And he knows what you're going to face tomorrow. That's why it's better to trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It is always good to trust the Lord. Amen? Yeah. Amen. And I thank the Lord. I'm going to read chapter 22, verse 1 on down to where I want to get to. It says, now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. They were more worried about their position. The Bible says they delivered him up because of envy. They were worried about their money. They were worried about all the things. Then Satan entered in Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and coveted to give him money. And I remember Dr. Upham used to tell us in Bible class, he said, you know, Jesus had 12 disciples. And he said, one of them was the devil. He said, if you have 100 people, you figure you're going to have a few devils. And that's going to betray. And they'll turn their back on the Lord. I hope you ain't one of them at home watching that's going to betray the Lord and turn your back on him. And they were glad and coveted, verse 5, and gave him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. He wanted to find an opportunity to be able to betray Jesus Christ. And just give you for a fistful of dollars, like the old movie came out of Clint Eastwood. He was going to betray Jesus Christ. And Joseph was sold out for 20 pieces of silver. Jesus Christ was sold out for 30. Inflation came along. And then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he entered, and he sent Peter and John, saying, go prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare it? And he said unto them, behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water, and follow him into the house where he entered in. Now, that's a strange thing. The Lord says, all right, walk into the city. Go into the city. Here comes a guy walking by with a pitcher of water. He said, follow him. Go into his house. That's the place. Wow. That's something. But they've been around Jesus Christ enough to know that when he said something, that it was going to come to pass. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? He didn't say, how much is your guest chamber? How much is it going to cost us? And started negotiating. When he said, where is it at? The master said he's going to be here today. And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 disciples with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And for I say unto you that I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine. Jesus Christ didn't drink fermented liquor. Fruit of the vine. The Bible says the fruit of the vine is squeezed out grapes in Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 64, 6. I will not drink, it's called new wine. And I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. You notice the difference between there's a kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. The Catholic Church, you know, that they try to say this when they bless the bread and bless the wine, it becomes actual the body of Jesus. That's not true. It's figurative. It says, which is given unto you, for do this in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. Boy, that's a sobering thought. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. They began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. Now, I mean, they didn't suspect that, you know, there'd be one guy in the crowd, you would think, okay, that's got to be him. That's got to be the one that's going to betray him. And they started arguing. They started wondering about themselves, whether they're going to betray the Lord. And they inquired among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. I know it probably had to be Simon Peter to start out saying, who is it? Who is it? You say, what was he going to do? I bet, guarantee you, he would have killed him. And you say, how do you know that? Because he takes the servant of the high priest's ear off later on. And there was strife among them. And the Bible says there was strife among them of which of them should be accounted the greatest. That went through their head. They, you know, who's going to betray him? And then that went through their head for a little bit. And then they said, oh, we're going to be the greatest. Who's going to be the greatest? And they started comparing themselves among themselves. The Bible says that's not wise. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And it says they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doeth serve. So you want to be great in God's sight. You want to do, you know, be a great person in God's sight. Just humble yourself. That's it. Just humble yourself. And I mean, just, you know, it's hard for man to humble themselves. You know, most men get in fights. They argue and fight because of their pride. Pride gets involved. You know, when we had a guy, Kerry Kahn's dad, he used to come to church here before he died. And we had this boxing ring out here. And we had this boxing ring for our youth rally. And we had the boxing commission come by and was going to fine us because they thought we put on the sign out there, live boxing. And we put out there, and they thought, you can't do this. And brother, I think Steve Irie was here. And brother Steve Irie went out and showed them the big boxing gloves that we had. It was Saul versus Paul. And it was a fight match. It was a cool thing. Brother John Tweed was Howard Cosell. And brother Brian Payton was Saul. And then Eddie Prophet was Paul. It should have been the other way around, I guess. But they was in the boxing ring fighting each other. But we had this boxing ring, and Kerry Kahn's dad said to me, he says, well, why don't I buy it? We put that thing in the gym and set it up in the gym. We have a boxing club for Faith Baptist Church. I said, no. Oh, man, I could see it going south quick, brother. I mean, you put that boxing, we have a boxing club here, brother, it'd be going south. And you're talking about, man, that'd be terrible. You talking about the pride of man. I know the pride. I know I got a lot of pride in me. You got a lot of pride in you. Everybody, you know, people walk in pride. Somebody punched me one time, I'll be going, wanting to go right back at them. But the Lord said, you'll be great in my kingdom. Humble yourself. Become a servant. Younger. Become a servant. Become a servant. And that's what most people don't want to be. You know, I like when I watched, we'll get to the message in a minute, but I like when I watched Sheffy. Sheffy would, you know, they would always say, who are you? He says, I'm just a servant of the Lord. And that's the right attitude. We're just servants of God. And that's what we're supposed to be. And a servant's willing to do whatever. I mean, you only own your life. He owns it. And your servant's supposed to give up himself. And Jesus said, you want to be great? You really want to be great? You really want to be somebody? And a lot of preachers set out to be great. Everybody wants to be great. They want to be known. They want to be, you know, the next internet sensation. They want to be the next this and that. But it's not going to be that way. Amen? You'll have your reward here if you do. It says, whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, verse 27, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Jesus was, you know, the Bible says when we get to heaven, there's going to be a marriage supper, and the Lord's going to gird himself. He's going to take off his jacket or whatever he has on, and he's going to gird himself and walk around at the table. You've seen the table. It goes out in eternity. And you've got food on the table, and the Lord knows exactly what you like. Everybody says, I want a big, thick steak. I want this. I want that. And I tell you this, ain't going to be no bats there. Ain't going to be no... stinking bats But the Lord's going to serve him. He's going to serve us. He's going to walk up and serve you. And now how are you going to like that when you're sitting at the throne and you're sitting up in heaven and you're sitting there and you're and Jesus Christ walks in the room and he walks up and says, can I take your order? But he already knows what you want. He already knows everything you want. And he says, what do you want to eat? And he's going to serve you. If you never served him down here, you're going to feel real. My. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine him looking me in the eye saying, didn't you love me? Christian sitting at home? I mean, and when the doors open back up in the church, I mean, are you going to be here? When it's, you said, well, there might be somebody still infected. Well, I mean, you can social distance. A guy texted me yesterday, said, look at here, man. You know, they shut the churches down, but Walmart and Lowe's was full. Full of people running around. And, you know, people don't have no problem going to Walmart. You say, go to church. Oh, man, I might get infected. I just might get infected. You're probably already infected. Jesse was talking about that this morning. I think Jesse's the one that brought it back up. No. But it's a real deal. It's real. But look on down. Look what it says. But you want to be great? Whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, and talking about the Lord waiting on us, he says, ye are they which have committed with me in my temptation. Jesus said, you're with me, and you're here when I'm going through my heaviest trial. You're going through, when I'm going through my heaviest trial, you're here with me. Woo! And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table. Boy, that's like Mephibosheth pulling the seat up there, old crippled Mephibosheth, old stinking, filthy Mephibosheth sitting at the king's table. Yeah. That's what we are. He was lame on his feet. He said, you're going to sit at my table. Boy, I tell you what, that's going to be a great table. Everybody, you know, when you go to a place, a party or whatever, and you always want, everyone wants to sit at the most, you know, table that has the most influence, the most popular. Everybody wants to be around the most popular. And all that stuff. Everybody wants to sit at that table so they can say, well, I rubbed shoulders with so-and-so. But you're going to sit at the table of Jesus, these disciples are, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones judging 12 tribes of Israel. And then as all that's going on, they're talking about the greatest and all that stuff, and Jesus turns around and he says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Woo! All this is going around. They're talking about who's the greatest. And then they said, he said, when are y'all going to betray me? And they said, is it me or is it them or who is it? And then they talk about the greatest. And then he says, Simon, Simon, I can see him sitting at that table. And he says, and he looks at him. And Simon turns around and looks. And Simon says, and Satan, he says, Satan hath desired to have you. Man, what a thing for the Lord to say. Sitting there, Simon Peter, the most influential disciple, sitting at the table with Jesus. And he says, hey, Simon, Simon, I want to tell you something. Satan hath desired to have you. I imagine there was a hush went over that table. Everybody got quiet. He says that he may sift you as wheat. The Lord was preparing him for that night. He was preparing him for the future. He said, man, Satan had desired. But look what he says, verse 32. Boy, what a comforting thing, the Lord, to look at Simon Peter. Yeah, you know, I liked it. You know, I like when Jesus rose from the grave, he says to Mary, he says, you go tell Simon. Tell him I'll meet him. I'm going to meet with him. Woo! He said, Satan had desired to sift you as wheat. You know, the devil wants to, you know, there can be a good sifting and there can be a bad sifting. A sifting, you know, you find in the Bible, you find they sifted all the bad stuff out, all the tares and all that stuff, and then they kept the wheat in the floor of the barn. But then he said, Satan desires to sift you like the good stuff. He wants to take all the good stuff out of you. He wants to take anything good out of you. And that's what bothers me about not having church, because a lot of people, they come so far. And as a pastor, you worry about all the good things that they've learned, the things that they should be growing by, all the things that they should honor God with in their life, in their own body. it's going to be sifted by the world and the flesh and the devil. That's what worries a pastor. Yeah. And man, all the good things have been planted in you. And those kids, we see them Sunday school kids coming in. You know, so what are we doing? We're trying to plant good things in those kids, trying to sift out the bad. My brother Ken's told me a lot of times, he said, he'll be in the classroom in a junior church, and all the kids talk about is movies that they've learned or saw. And they talk about movies, how great this was, and this superhero and this stuff. I mean, that stuff needs to be sifted out and some good things put in. I mean, you see the cartoons on television today. Man, they're getting more bolder and bolder for the little children. And they're doing all kinds of filthy things, all kinds of different movements and different songs that they're singing and all that. And it's supposed to be for television for children. I remember growing up, Bugs Bunny, you know, and you said, well, they were violent. Yeah, I'd rather have them be in the Three Stooges. They're outlawed, you know, because they were panging each other in the head. No, as far as I know, none of my family got, you know, beat up too bad. But the movies that, you know, the cartoons we used to have as kids, we thought, man, wouldn't it be great to have our kids watching that again, seeing that stuff, even though they poked each other in the eye and all that stuff. But getting back to this, he said, but I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. He said, I prayed for you and that you wouldn't fail in your faith. I want to know, how's your faith this morning? Have you fallen away? Are you failing in your faith? Your faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are you faithful, even though we're locked down and people stay at home and all that stuff, are you faithful in your faith building, in your faith building? Are you building your faith? Does it matter to you? Do you care about it as a child of God? I was sitting there, like I said yesterday, I was looking at that funeral, looking at those folks, and I thought, man, I wasn't down on them people. I wasn't, you know, thinking that, man, they're out of church, they haven't grown and all. But if I didn't get in the Word of God and my family, somebody encouraged me to do that, I would be in the same place, man. I've been in the same place. My kids would have been in the same place. My grandkids would have been in the same place of not knowing God. And I'm not saying they all know God in the real spiritual atmosphere. I'm just saying I would be in that bad place. And I want to see kids that come here to learn and realize that there's people praying, that people care about them, and the devil wants to devour them and sift them and tear them apart. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's whether you're saved or lost. Mostly saved. You know, the devil wanted to get Simon Peter. He said, I want him bad. I want him bad. And, you know, that's the guy that the Catholic Church uses to build their whole religion on. And saying Simon Peter was the first pope. That's a lie. That's a flat out lie. The devil did use his name. Used him a little bit. I imagine that the Lord, at the judgment, the Lord's going to give Simon Peter his say. He's going to get up and say, hey, man, y'all used me in the wrong way. That's not right that you used me, calling me the first pope when I was married and had kids. Come on, get out of here, you bunch of devils. He says, I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. When's the last time you strengthened somebody? We're good at tearing it down. I was telling Mark I tore down my sister's trailer. I was taking my sister's trailer apart little by little, burning it. I got fed up with that, man. I got tired of that little mess. I took that backhoe and just squashed that thing and pushed it down. Then took it and cut it in half and took the frame and picked it up and shook it and all the walls fell off and all that. Pushed it in the pile and burned it. And man, that felt good too. It felt good. But when's the last time you strengthened somebody? I mean, it's easy to tear something down. It's easy to tear people down. We haven't got to the message yet. We will. But he says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. He says, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He said unto them, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. I mean, here's Simon Peter standing up saying, hey, don't you say that. I'm ready to go with you. I'm going to die with you. I'll die with you. I'm ready to go to prison. I'm ready to die. You said, did he mean it? I believe he meant it. But circumstances came up. Circumstances. You're going to be tested. Jesus said, you're with me in my hour of temptation. I'm going to tell you something. He's going to be with you in your hour of temptation. You're going to be tested. Simon Peter, he was outspoken. They always said, Simon Peter, open mouth, inserted foot. And that's what we do sometimes. We open mouth, insert foot. But man, we might mean it at the time, but when circumstances come up, look out. Another thing comes. If people say, I love the Lord, I'm going to serve God. Circumstances come up. Maybe you'll lose a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. What happens if the rapture takes place and you get to heaven and you haven't done anything? He says that you may eat and drink. Then down it says 33, he said unto them, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, when I have sinned you without purse and so on. But I'm going to preach to you this morning. I'm going to preach about sifting. Satan, sifting. And you know what the Lord told Peter? He said, man, he said, the devil desired to have you, that he might sift you. And you know what? He desires to have anybody that's trying to do something for God. He desires. I mean, there's some preachers that I know I love and some preachers that help me. And a man, the devil desired to sift them and destroy them. And some of them fell into sin. Some of them got it away from God. And man, I know I'm no better than they are. And when you start thinking that you made it, you know, Peter got up real proud, self-confident. I'm never going to deny you. Look out, man. Take heed lest you fall. You better be careful. You speak as a fool. You say, God, help me. Help me not to be in that situation. Help me never turn my back on you. Peter said unto him, Lord, though all men forsake you, he said, I'll not forsake you. And he did. He did forsake him. And the Bible says that Satan desired to have Peter and just sift him like wheat, destroy him, and tear him to pieces. I'm going to tell you something. The devil desires your witness. He desires your worship. You can worship God. You don't have to be in this building. But I tell you what, man, we felt the presence of God here this morning. And man, I felt worship in my heart. I felt worship in this building. We can worship God no matter if it's in this building or in your car or at home. You can worship God. But if you're watching TV and you're watching, listen to radio, listen to all that junk, you ain't gonna worship God. Man, Miss Sheila started singing. Boy, I tell you what, we felt the presence of God show up. What a blessing. The devil desires your witness. He desires your worship. He desires your work. Anything you've done. You know, the Bible says, look to yourself that you have a full reward. The devil desires to take anything that you've done for God and just destroy it. Destroy your testimony. And man, at the judgment seat of Christ, it'll be just shot to pieces. I'll tell you this, he said, Satan had desire to sift you. The first thing he'll try to do is get your speech. He'll try to get your speech. Look in your Bibles to Matthew 26. Matthew 26 and looking for 73. Matthew 26, 73, he'll get your speech. He'll get your speech. You watch, you hang around that mess, man, and you stop growing. You stop fellowship with the Lord, stop worshiping God. And man, the devil will sift your speech. And the things, the way you talk, the way you act. You'll be at work and you'll be around those guys and before long, cuss word will come out of your mouth. Trying to prove that you're just one of them, one of the good old boys. And you'll ruin your testimony. And people will be shocked. They said, but they'll say, man, did you hear so-and-so? He says he's a Christian. You hear the way he's talking? You hear the way that word's come out of his mouth? I know the first time I was going to Bible school and I was witnessing a bunch of Marines. And I was down there witnessing and a guy named, what was his name? Jerry Roy. Jerry Roy standing there, and Jerry was just a young baby Christian. And I thought I was really spiritual, boy. I mean, I thought I was, you know, I was self-confident. And I mean, there was a couple of Marines standing there. They were captains in the Marine, or lieutenants in the Marine Corps. They were pilots, though. They were pilots down at Eglin Air Force Base learning how to fly. And we had a captain that went to school with us. He was a captain of the Marine Corps, and this guy's name was Davis. And this guy, everything these guys were shooting for, Davis has already been there. And Davis was already a pilot. He was already flying F-14s and all that stuff, and he was flying all that stuff. And we went to school together. And, man, I was witnessing those guys. I was standing out there on the sidewalk, and I was talking about people teaching evolution, and I said the word that rhymes with shoot. Maybe it doesn't rhyme. Maybe it doesn't rhyme. But anyway, it doesn't rhyme. But I don't want to say, I said the other word. And I said, they teach all that down there. And I said, you know, the other word. And I mean, I couldn't believe it. I was in shock that I said it. Because I was just joyous that I didn't cuss no more. I used to have a filthy mouth. I used to have a bad mouth. I'll tell you what, first time I split my thumb down the middle when I hit it with a sledgehammer. And what blessed my heart, even though I was jumping around screaming like a girl. I mean, I'll never forget what blessed my heart. It was not one filthy cuss word came to my thoughts. Amen. I was blessed by that. You said, man, that's a victory. Oh, yeah, that's a big victory. Man, that was a blessing to me. But, man, I'm standing out there witnessing these Marines and Jerry Roy standing there. And I said, S-H-I-T. And I went, oh. And you should have seen the shock of my face. I went, oh. And then I tried to say, shoot, shoot, shoot. And the guy said, shoot what? And I mean, it didn't even faze them, but it fazed me that I said a cuss word. He said, is that a cuss word? They say it on the farm all the time. Yeah, it's a cuss word. Amen. And it's a filthy word. And I never forget, man, I went home. I got back in my car and I said, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. So I went and got Ed Davis and we went over and witnessed him. We won all those guys. There were three or four of them. We led to the Lord. They were all lieutenants. Amen. They ended up getting saved. And man, I told Ed Davis what happened to me about using that word. And he said, oh, brother, they didn't hear it. They didn't hear it. But I was bothered by my speech. And, you know, you ought to be bothered by your speech. You know, the Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. You ought to be bothered by your speech. When you get around the old good old boys and you're working with guys, some men think they got to use a few cuss words to prove they're tough. Yeah. What you're doing is you're proving you're stupid when it comes to that. You're proving that you really don't love God like you should. You know, Simon Peter was standing by the fire looking at Matthew 20, what is it, 26. Look at Matthew 26 and verse 73. He's standing beside the fire. And the Bible says in verse 69, and Peter sat without in the palace, and the damsel came out unto him saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee, and did deny it before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. People lose their guts when they get around the world. They'll lose their guts for Jesus Christ. And Peter, I'm not trying to put down on Peter real hard because Peter's a better man than I could ever be. Peter was a great man. Simon Peter was a great man. And I'll tell you what, he went farther than any one of us would ever went. He went for Jesus Christ and he was willing to fight for the Lord. By this time, he was discouraged. This is, you got to take that into consideration. He was ready to fight and he said, Lord, I'll die with you. And he cuts off that high priest's ear and Jesus reached down, picked it up, put it back on the man's head. And by that time, I would have been running. But Jesus said, Peter, put up your sword. He said, they that live by the sword shall die by the sword. Peter got discouraged. He went away, man. The Bible says he followed afar off. John, the beloved, was right in there with him. He was right in the crowd. We'll see that in a minute. But he's right in there with Jesus Christ. That's why John got to go into the Isle of Patmos and have the revelation. You said, well, what a thing. Go to Isle of Patmos, exile? Yeah, but he got to fellowship with God the whole time. I heard a guy tell this. His name was Racehorse. He said he was in a Alabama prison back when the segregation was going on. Blacks were in one prison, whites were in the other. And he said they had a boss that they put him in a solitary confinement, stripped him down naked. And he said, man, he said that night, God came in my cell. I met God and I asked Jesus the same. He said, and they came to me and said, you want to get out? He said, no, I want to stay in here a lot longer because God's in here. When God's in a situation, brother, when God's there, you don't care about leaving. You want to fellowship with him. His name was Racehorse. And it says, verse 71 or 70, he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, Peter's running from him. Another maid saw him and said unto them, you know why? Jesus said, you're going to deny me, Peter. You're going to deny me? No doubt about it. You're going to deny me. And it says, and he saw him and said unto him, that were there. And this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied with an oath. And he says, I do not know the man. And after a while, came unto him one that stood by and said unto Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. She said, you know what? You talk just like them Christians. Christians don't cuss. They don't tell dirty jokes. They don't speak those things. They don't say those things. She said, your speech. So Peter tried to prove that he wasn't one of them, one of those disciples. He uses that. He lets go the blankety blank, blankety blank, blankety blank. He said, the devil desired to have you, Peter. And boy, you know what Peter did? He fell right into the trap. He fell right into it. I mean, here he had a great opportunity to say, yeah, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. My speech giveth me away. My speech betrayeth me. But I'm one of them, and I'm not going to be like you all. He was discouraged. He was going through trial. He was going through some trouble. She said, your speech betrayeth thee. He remembered back, Jesus said, you're going to deny me thrice. You're going to deny me. He denied Jesus Christ with his speech. And look what the Bible says. He says in verse 74, then began he to curse and to swear. What a sad thing. You know, Simon Peter probably regrets that being in the Word of God. He's up in heaven right now. He's probably interceding, Lord, can we take that out of there, Lord? Can we just take that part out? I denied you. Can we take that out? You know, the Lord's, that's how you know God wrote this book. He puts even the bad things in there that man's done. He puts the bad things. And then, you know what? At the judgment seat of Christ, all the bad's going to come out. You better think about that. I mean, the devil desires to sift you as wheat. And man, I tell you what, why don't you let God sift the bad things out of your life through the Word of God? That'd be a better way to go. Get all the bad junk out of your life. Most Christians get saved. They come to this church. They get saved, and they don't grow. And when they don't grow, just like that sister came here spring, if she got saved, and I believe that what they said, that she is saved, and she came in, but she didn't get no victory in her life. She didn't get victory over the language. She didn't get victory over the drugs. She didn't get victory over her own personal pride. We all have to fight that battle. And there's a battle that we have to fight. Satan desires to sift you. He'll use you against you. That's what he'll do. That's what he did with Peter. He used Peter against Peter, sifting him. He says, I'll show you that I ain't one of them. Blankety blank, blankety blank. I'm not one of them blankety blanks. You know, some Christians try to, like I said, they get saved. They never grow. If I didn't grow, if somebody didn't help me, John Garner came by and took me to church, man, and encouraged me to go to church. If he didn't encourage me and then and started helping me, if somebody didn't help me, I would have been blankety blank, blankety blank right now, saying all the bad. I might probably be dead right now. He said, the devil desires your speech. Yeah. He wants to tear your speech to pieces. You know what? You know what? Christians ought to be different. Simon Peter was different all the way up to that time. He's out there by the fire. He denied. Yeah, he said, no, I don't know the man. I don't know the man. I'm not one of them. But then to prove it that he wasn't one of them, he had to use the language. Now, Christian, I tell you what, you know, the Bible talks about your mouth. It says not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man is what comes out. You can get defiled by your mouth. Let your speech be always seasoned with grace, the Bible says. I mean, sound speech that cannot be condemned. We ought to have good speech. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. It says, whose mouth is full of cursing. That's what the Bible talks about the world. Their mouth is full of cursing. Always cursing. Yeah, I tell you what, Christians shouldn't be talking like that. The devil desires to sift you. Just because you get around a bunch of men, hard men, that doesn't mean you have to come out with the filthy four-letter words and all the other words. You ain't got to do that. You don't have to talk like that. Why? The devil says, oh, they're saved. Lord, look at that. Here's a person that's saved. And it don't bother them a bit to say a cuss words. You know what? They always used to say, if a woman will smoke, she'll drink. If she'll drink, she'll curse. And if she'll curse, she'll do anything. So you better watch out about your speech. The devil with desires to sift you. I'll tell you what, the Bible says that Satan desired to sift him, and he desired his worship, his work, his witness. I'll tell you what the Bible says that he did. Take your Bible, look in Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 58. Look what Peter did. He stood outside. He didn't get in. You know what? If Peter would have been, you know, he was a man's man, I'll tell you that. He carried, every fisherman carried a knife in their boot and all that stuff, and he was ready to tear the high priest's ear off, and he did, his servant, and he started doing it. But I tell you what, if he just would have got in all the way, if he would just got in, he would have been, man, you say, he would have died with the Lord. Maybe the Lord knew that. The Lord would protect him. But look what the Bible says. And Peter followed him afar off onto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. I mean, he followed afar off. He didn't get all the way in. He followed way off. We got a lot of people that they say they go to this church. They say they're part of this church. And people know what this church stands for around here. They know. They know what we stand for. They know what Christians ought to be. You just, all you got to do is go to work tomorrow morning and start cursing or drinking or talking filthy. And they'll say, wait a minute, I thought you were a Christian. They'll know what, they know where Christians ought to be. They know where you ought to be. And Peter, the Bible says Peter followed afar off. I'm going to tell you something. People say they're members of Faith Baptist Church, but they only come here once a year. Maybe once in a lifetime. Once in a lifetime. That man, they followed far off. The Bible says they're way out. They're way out. He stayed behind. He stood at the door. He stood with the wrong crowd. He stood with them that warming themselves beside the fire, and they were cursing and swearing, drinking and carrying on and mocking Jesus Christ. That's where he stood. Where you stand? Jesus said, shall I find faith on the earth? Shall it be there? Are you going to be there? Are you going to made up your mind? You going to follow Jesus Christ? I mean, the Bible, here's the pattern that Peter set was wrong. It was wrong. It was no good. John the Beloved got in there right where Jesus was. And they knew he was one of his disciples. But they didn't crucify him. They didn't kill him. They exiled him. They exiled him. But they didn't kill him. Amen. Peter did everything was wrong. He said, Satan had desired to sift you like wheat. He stayed behind. He stood at the door. He stood with them that were his enemies. And the Bible says he warmed himself by their fire. You get around that world, man. I always told people, that said, don't be on their ground. Don't let the world get you on their ground. You let them get on your ground. Yeah. Your ground is church. Your ground is the Bible. Your ground is serving God. Let them get on your ground. If they want help, you don't go down into the hog pen and try to, you're going to think you're going to drag them out of there when they don't want to come out. If they want to come out, that's one thing. But when they don't want to come out, they'll drag you and they'll get all over you, get all that mess all over you. The devil desires to sift you like wheat. Let me ask you something. You think the devil's on your trail? You think the Bible says that he's walking throughout as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's after you. If you're trying to serve God, you young girls, you better be careful. Careful what you're looking at. You young boys, careful what you're looking at. Man, you got that iPhone, you got that Android, you got all that stuff. You better be careful what you're looking at. He always uses the eyes. The devil always uses the eyes. They say women fall in love with what they hear. Men fall in love with what they see. You better be careful. Your eyes and your ears are the gates the devil come through. He'll use against you. The devil desires to sift you. You know, we've had guys, I've said this before, I was going to preach on falling this morning, but we've had people stand up here and say, I'll never quit church. I'll never quit serving the Lord. And the FBI can't even find them now. They're just so far out. He stood. He should have stood with Jesus. Look at Luke 22. Look at verse 61. Look at 61 here. Matthew or Luke 22, 61 and verse 16. And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Jesus told him, "said It's going to happen, Peter. It's going to happen. I wouldn't want the Lord to tell me what's going to happen." I wouldn't want to know. I would just want to fall before God and say, Lord, help me, guide me, help me not to fall. And the Bible tells you that if you keep some things in remembrance over in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says you'll never fall if you'll keep these things in remembrance. Yeah. But I wouldn't want to know about what's going to happen. I wouldn't want to know the future, even though sometimes you think, well, man, that'd be pretty cool to know. Yeah, but then you might run from the will of God. I wouldn't want to run from the will of God. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he had spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned. Here's the hard part. Here's the hard part. So he said, the devil desired to sift you. And he said, but I prayed for you, Peter. And those words ringing in his ears while he's out there by this fire, while he's standing at the door. Even John came to the door and said, Peter, or told the damsel, said, go out and get Peter. Tell him, come on in. Come in here. Peter wouldn't. He wouldn't come in. John was in there. He said, go tell him to come on in. Why? Peter was the influence. He was the one that had the guts. Yeah. He was the one that was the man's man. He was the one that influenced the disciples. Jesus, in his hour of temptation, he told his disciples, he said, watch and pray lest you enter temptation. Watch and pray. Look at verse 60 again. Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. Immediately, while yet spake the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Man, I can see that. Can't you picture that in your own mind? While they're punching him in the face, Jesus sitting there. And John, I'm sure John was trying to say something on Jesus' behalf. Don't hit him. He's innocent. Leave him alone. What are y'all doing? He did nothing but good. Boy, John, that's what Peter should have been doing. John's in there yelling, defending the Lord. The Bible doesn't say that, but I can see John. The beloved, the Bible says he laid on Jesus' chest near his heart. He laid there and listened to the heartbeat of God. He had a love for Jesus Christ. That's why the Lord allowed him to have that book of Revelation and allow us to be able to enjoy it, read it, knowing the future. Peter's out there going blankety blank. I don't even know the man. You can be in one of the two places. In this time, in this world, the world needs to see some Christians that love God, willing to stand, have a love for God. And look what the Bible says, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. I could see Peter looking, staring through the crowd. And I could see the crowd open up a little bit and Jesus with blood running down his face, bruised face, crown of thorns being, you know, getting ready to be put on his head as they're punching him, saying, blindfolding him, saying, who hit you? Who hit you? And he looks out when the cock crow and Peter stares at him. He says, Satan hath desired to sift you, Peter, but I prayed for you. Woo! I prayed for you, Peter. Peter did the only thing he could do. The Bible says, Peter went out and wept bitterly. I hope, you know what I love to see? And the Lord, mostly, the Lord loves to see. Tears touch God's heart. And I believe, you know, when I was raised up, my father taught us, you know, if you weep, you cry, you're not a man. You know, but I found out it takes more of a man to weep and cry over things today than ever before I found that out. I can't help for crying half the time. Seeing people, man, my heart broke for them. And I remember being raised that way, and the world hardens you. You know, the Bible says, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again, bringing the sheaves with him. I'm glad to read this. I'm glad to say, it didn't say Peter was so bitter that he never wept. Peter, it didn't touch Peter's heart to look at Jesus Christ with the bruises and the punching and all the other things that he was going through when he met eyeball to eyeball. When he looked at it, I'm glad he didn't just harden himself and say, well, you're getting what you deserve. You wouldn't let me fight. You wouldn't let me stand up for you, so you're getting what you deserve. Peter remembered the words of Jesus and went out and wept bitterly. Like I said, tears touched the heart of God. Psalm 51, it touches God's heart. And I tell you this, or Psalm 52, I think it is. But I'll tell you this, I love to see people, and the Lord loves to see people, to get to an altar and repent of their sin. And boy, it's a blessing to see tears. I don't like to see babies cry and be hurt, but when it comes to you repenting before God, tears touch the heart of God. I tell you, the Lord already forgave Peter. He'd met his eyes. He knew what Peter was going to do. Their eyeballs met. Peter went out and wept bitterly. He said, I prayed for you, boy. Guess what I'm telling you? The Bible says he's praying for us. In the middle of all the, you know, junk that people go through, all that, he's praying. The Holy Ghost is interceding for us. What a blessing. What a God. You can't beat that. Amen. You can't beat that. When we sing Jesus what a friend to sinners. Man, our great Savior, whoo, he is. He is great. I feel sorry for people who say, God never did anything for me. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't, man, they're just speaking out of the one side of their mouth. They don't even know what they're talking about. God's done all things for you. He's helped you. He's given you opportunity to trust him. I was saying something about hell yesterday. Somebody laughed a little bit. I said, man, God delivered us from delivered me from hell. Thank God I ain't going to hell. What a blessing. Satan desires to sift you, Christian. He wants to tear you to pieces. I'll tell you what, if you're not right with God this morning, ask God to give you some tears. Repent of your sin. Ask God to help you have a heart for people and mostly a heart for God. Ask God to help me have like David. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. You know what Peter ended up doing? And that thing there that happened to him, he learned from it. You know, a lot of Christians never learn from things that they go through. They just keep making the same stupid thing over and doing the same stupid thing over and over and over and over, thinking there's going to be a different result. Peter repented, got right. The Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. And then when Jesus resurrected, he said, Mary, you tell Peter, I'm going to see him. I want to see him. And then he gives it Peter on the day of Pentecost. Even though Peter's out there blankety blank, blankety blank, I don't know, on the day of Pentecost, Peter's out there preaching to 3,000 that trusted God, trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's preaching out there and he's going, Jesus saves! He's the one! He's the way, the truth, the life! No man come to the Father but by him. 3,000 people get saved from the same mouth that was cussing and swearing. But the difference was repentance. Repentance. Weeping. You know what Peter does? John chapter 21. I'm going to turn over and read it to you and I'll close. John chapter 21. I love this. Jesus on the shore. And he comes out and he says, children, have you any meat? The Bible says he was with, most people don't know this, but Jesus Christ after his resurrection was showing up daily for 40 days after his resurrection. So when you read Acts chapter 1, and you find the angel standing there and says, the same Jesus goes up in the cloud. He's going to come in like manner. And that angel announces that. And he was with them for 40 days. 40 is the number of testing. And he's with them for 40 days and telling them and expounding to them the kingdom of God. And then Paul ends up running into him in Acts chapter 9, on the road to Damascus and end up getting... you know, you got the 13 books of the New Testament, the Pauline epistles. But in John chapter 21, Jesus shows up, you know, and he says, in John chapter 21, verse 11, Simon Peter went out and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. I've had people say that's 153 nations, different types of people that he was pulling the net in. You know what? All over this world, people's heard about Jesus Christ. And there's Christians that makes us American Christians look sick when it comes to Christianity. They really love God. And the Bible says, verse 6, back up to John chapter 21, verse 6, or actually verse 5, Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. They've been out there all night long. And Jesus made sure that they didn't catch nothing. And then he shows up on the shore and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. Y'all want any fruit? You want any fish? Cast your net on the right side. The right side of repentance. Right side of weeping, bearing precious seed. Ye shall find. They cast therefore and set, and now they were not able to draw for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciples whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, notice that. Wouldn't you like to have that characteristic? Disciple whom Jesus loved. That was John. And it says, therefore, disciple that whom Jesus loved, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that, it was the Lord. He girded his coat, fisher's coat, onto him, and he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. But right there, he would have lost the Baptist right there. The Baptist would have said, oh, man, he got unclothed. Oh, my Lord. He should have never done that. He ain't right with God. And it says, the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land. And it was about 200 cubits, dragging the net and with the fishes. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus already had everything they wanted, everything they desired and they loved. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fishes which ye have now caught. He said, bring some more, bring them up here, clean them. And goes on, then he says, verse 12, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine, and one day we will. And the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to disciples after that he was risen from the dead. When he had, now this is probably the front part of that 40 days. And when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my lambs. Jesus three times asked him, do you love me? And he said, Lord, I love you. I love you. I love you. Three times. Why? Because he denied him three times. And verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved. Peter knew. He knew. He was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? You think when you stand before God and I stand before God, you think the Lord's not going to have some questions to ask you? I've had dreams about this. The Lord look at me in the eyes saying, did you love me? He knows all things. Like Peter says, Lord, you know all things. But he's going to just get it out of your mouth. He said, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, and he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. You know. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. The devil desires you and me and anybody that loves God, that has the blood upon them, that's saved, washed in the blood. He desires to sift you. He wants to sift your speech, your witness, your worship, your work. Be careful what you do, Christian. Be careful who you're with. Be careful where you go. He used to say, be careful little hands what you touch. Be careful little feet where you go. Little song that children sing in Sunday school. Be careful. We adults got to be careful. And time's coming. Time's coming to show. I mean, one day the Lord's going to come back. And then it's going to be the judgment seat of Christ. So don't think that God's taking a break just because America's on hold. God hadn't taken a break. He's watching. He's going to see how you handle things. You think about those Christians that's in China and all over the world that's in communist countries that can't worship God like we can here. And you don't. And they want to. And they lay down their life for him. God have mercy. Be careful. Satan desires to have you. You going to let him? Only one can let him is you. Whom you yield your members is who your master is. You yield your members to God, God's your master. You yield your members to Satan, that's your master. God help us. Father, thank you again this morning. Thank you for the message, Lord, to stir my heart. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for showing up, Lord. I pray you just tonight be with us, Lord, as we come back together and folks come to testify. I hope they do, Lord, come in the parking lot, park the car and sit in the car, Lord, and be able to give testimony about Miss Carla. Her race is done. Miss Carla is 72 years old. Her race is done. She's with you. And I pray, God, you'd help the testimony. I've got good memories of Miss Carla. Always good memories. Miss Carla's smiling face and her calmness she had, be able to calm things. And my Father, I pray, God, you just please bless the family today and bless the message. Use it for your glory and honor. Help my brothers and sisters, Lord. And may we stay together as a family, as a family, a church family. And churches across this land, may their families stay together for your glory and honor. And say that one in Jesus' name. Amen.